life right now. And so, yeah, I'm just really thankful for, you know, during worship, I just walked outside and I looked up. And, like, I just think sometimes we just need to step back and just look and get perspective on our lives and, you know, like, what God has done and, like, take inventory, you know, because he wants us to see his fingerprints on our lives and the trail that he's left behind. And so he doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. And even when you're in the valley and it feels like the darkest of night, he is with you and he has not left you, and his fingerprints are even in the valley. And so I just bless you guys and thank you for just your prayers. And I didn't share where I'm going. I'm going to Australia again. Seventh time to Australia. Actually just had a going away party a week ago Saturday, and I realized as I was packing up my place, I happened to come across my pictures from my going away party in September 2003. And where was I getting sent off to? Brisbane, Australia. And where am I getting sent off to? Brisbane, Australia again. And so God brings life full circle, and sometimes we don't even realize it until we're in the moment.
Come on. So good. Well, we're incredibly grateful for your life and your sacrifice and all that you've sown into the Eastern Sierras. And, you know, I just see you as a connector. You connect people with their destiny. And you bring people and connect people and bring relationships together that would have never crossed paths. And she did that for our region several times, and one of which is standing right behind her, which is Richard. She was a big reason that Richard and Grace came here. They knew each other in San Diego, and it's just this amazing group of people down there that were friends. And so it's just this awesome connection. And so she leaves, but she's not just leaving. She's leaving with fruit here and legacy here. And so we celebrate that, and we're thankful for that, for all that you have done. And so we bless you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for Lauren. I thank you for the 9 years that you have established her here and that you've used her here to make a difference in so many lives. And we just bless her now in this new season. We bless her with peace. We bless her with grace. We bless her with provision on every level. On every level, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, we bless her with provision. God, I thank you that her soul will prosper in a new way. God, she will have a prosperous spirit, soul, and body in this new season. God, I pray protection over the plane ride, protection over the however many months she will be there. We pray divine order and divine and apostolic relationships to come to her in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for new mothers and fathers. And I thank you, God, for bringing new sons and daughters to her. Lord, I thank you for that. We bless her in the mighty name of Jesus. Anybody that wants to pray, go for it.
And bless you with an amazing partner in life. Yes, yes. Lauren, you are, I've always admired how the Lord leads you through life and through every place that you go. You are an example to all of us in listening for the Lord's leading and then obeying. So thank you for being that, and just so appreciate that in you. And it's been exciting to be kind of like spiritual parents to you and hosting you for a season as well. It was so awesome to have you in our home for that season. And just the Lord bless you as you move forward, and just be, I just feel like you are so precious in his sight, a precious one. And he's always looking over you. And just, I just see him running out ahead of you all the time, orchestrating circumstances and divine appointments and just getting everything set just so for his precious one. So just bless you to walk in all into all the preparations of your loving Father who just adores you just like we do. In Jesus' name.
I just really sense that he just so pleased, Lauren, with the purity of your heart. Because it just pours out. That's what we see. You know, we see Jesus in you from head to toe. And I just pray for an increase in your ability to hear him well, just like you heard him through that storm. And I feel that he's going to give you an increase if you can believe that. And we just bless you with that.
I don't know how many people actually know that Lauren is. One time Albie came here and he ordained Lauren, right? Yeah. So she's a UMI pastor or a reverend, I think it is. I think it's Reverend Lauren. But she's really part of our DNA. She's grafted in, right? So this is what we do. We send out people from Church on the Mountain. It's really a global church. And so, you know, we're sending her out believing there's going to be fruit, right? Amen. Right? Yes. So we need to continue to pray for her while she's out there that there'll be divine connections, just like there was with Rich and Grace, yes, right? And that people will get saved, yes, by her presence. And then she can be the pastor that Albie called her to be. So, Lord, we pray that that happens, Lord God. Lord, we pray for divine encounters, divine connections, Lord God. We declare that Lauren is a connector for you, Lord God, and that there'll be a lot of fruit. There'll be abundance of fruit, so much fruit that it can't actually be taken to market. It'll just have to be consumed there. In Jesus' name we pray.
Oh, go ahead. I'll go ahead. Jump in, please.
I don't want
to. Lauren, thank you for being such an authentic friend. Okay, don't make me cry. I think you showed up a year or two after me, I think. Yeah. And you have been such an amazing person to have, and being able to, you know, do all the fun stuff and then talk about the deep things too. So I really appreciate you. Yeah. And yeah, I just might have a song. It's a new season. It's a new season. He's calling you out to the deeper levels, to the deeper levels. It's a new season of a restoration of dreams, restoration of hopes. He's bringing the life of dreams. Everything in between. Everything in between. I just know that you've been so faithful. And I just know that he sees that. And like, never forgot that, like, he sees all of those faithful moments that no one else does. And that's absolutely going to be rewarded so many times over.
Oh, so cool. Lauren and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the same night. December 07, right?
January.
Or January 08.
Eight.
Oh, shoot. I was so far off.
Just.
Oh. But the vision, so that was the moment. I was the first one to get prayed over. I was a mess. And then after I got filled in the Spirit, I started getting visions for everybody. It had never happened before. And the vision I had for you, I think I shared it with you, was you were standing up on the edge of a cliff, And the Holy Spirit was like a scarf, just encircling you and holding you. So we send you off with the same Holy Spirit to just hold you and surround you. And then this is just the simplest little word. It's, if your presence goes, I don't want to stay. And if your presence stays, I don't want to go. And so just follow His presence. There you go. So we love you. Come back again.
So good. So good.
Amen. Yeah. Come on. Bless Lauren. Give her a hug as it's not goodbye, it's see you later, right? see you soon. Y'all come back now, you hear? Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. If you have a Bible, you could turn to the book of Acts. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for goodness and grace and mercy and power and joy and life. All these things that are only found in the kingdom. They're only found in you, Lord. Oh, and so we bless you. We worship you. And we move our hearts back into the kingdom. We align our spirits, our hearts, our minds, our everything back into the kingdom of God. That is the only fruitful place to live. And we want to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful, Lord. And so we just come back into alignment now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for your word to go forth and to speak and to minister and to break free all that need to be broken free. God, we love you. We lean into you this morning. Have your way, have your way, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless this message and bless everybody here and everybody that agree with me. Say amen. Turn to Acts chapter 11. I didn't tell you the address. So, had a good couple of days. The Lord was doing some wonderful things this last few days, and I'm just excited, and I feel just kind of stirred in my spirit for what the Lord wants to do in this new season. But we had an opportunity on Thursday. Richard and Andy and myself, we went down to Ridgecrest to the lighthouse, the Ridgecrest Lighthouse, to go minister down there, and it was just an amazing time, right, Rich? It was so sweet. It was so sweet. The Lord really showed up right from the start. We get there and we're walking around the neighborhood, and a lady comes out of her business and says, "Hey," you know, and she kind of knew Tara, and she's like, "I was just diagnosed with cancer. Can you guys lay hands on me?" And that was how the whole thing kind of started. So we just gather around her, and we just felt the presence of God, and I believe she's healed. And so it goes from there, and then we just have this incredible meeting, and it was an amazing time. And the word that God was beginning to stir in my spirit was that this, as we already know, this is a deep well that we have here at Church on the Mountain. And there's 50 years of depth, 50 years of revival, 50 years of reformation. And the Lord said, "I'm bringing back the circuit riders." The circuit riders. And circuit riders, if you don't know what circuit riders are, they were from the early 1700s, 1800s, the Methodist Church. They began to put preachers and even lay people on horseback, and they begin to preach the gospel in all the communities, and it brought reformation and an awakening to America. Revival was just breaking out all across the nation because these guys jumped on a horse and began to preach and go to churches and bring the fire and bring refreshing and bring the well of God. Even in the Eastern Sierras, there's this great preacher, I just forgot his name, but he used to go on horseback from Bridgeport to Bodie to Minden, to Mammoth, to Crowley, to Bishop, to Lone Pine on horse and preach the gospel and lay hands and see salvations. Like, this is in our, this is our roots. Not only as the church, but in the Eastern Sierras. And I felt like as we were going as this team and we were being sent with not empty-handed, but fully loaded. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I want to do this more. Because when you give out, you receive. You receive more from the Lord when you begin to give out what has been given to you. Not just store it all and store it all. We're not like, we don't want to hog everything. Give me all the ice cream, you know. It's not, this isn't Goonies where we're trying to hog all the rocky road. We want to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. And so we just had this amazing time of bringing joy, bringing encouragement. And I feel like we're going to be doing that more. And so just stay tuned. But we'll be doing more trips. It just hit my spirit as we were driving. I just felt like we need to do trips to places where there is no move of God, where there is no church, and go to Walker, go to Bridgeport, and just see the Lord just stir something up. And then your heart gets awakened and stirred up. Like, I just have this thing. It's like, we're here. We're alive now. And I'm like, not on my watch. The devil ain't going to mess with our communities anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. You're like, okay, get to the text. I will. You know, which brings me to what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about being sons and daughters of encouragement. Sons and daughters of encouragement. Hallelujah. And I turn to the book of Acts because there's this great portion of scripture in Acts chapter 11, starting in 19. And it says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen had just been martyred, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but to the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Say Barnabas. When he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged them all with great purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. I love this. And I love the life of Barnabas. I don't think he's talked about enough. I don't think he's celebrated enough. He was a powerful man. And there was some amazing things that we can glean and learn from his life and lean into. And I love that, you know, we know that Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts, right? Y'all know that. And Luke says, he says this thing, which I don't see him say this about any other person. He says this about Barnabas, verse 24, for he was a good man. I don't see him say that about anybody else in the book of Acts. He calls Barnabas a good man, but then you know why he was a good man? He says it in the very next thing. This is why he was a good man, because he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. This is what makes you a great man and a great woman of God. Come on now. Faith is our part. Filling is his part. Faith is action. And I love that Barnabas always had action in his life. He didn't just sit by idly and wait for everything to come to him. He went after things. Like, he went to go help Paul. He went to go help the church. He was a doer. Say, I'm a doer. Come on, you have to speak to your mountain before it crumbles. You have to stretch out the staff into the sea before the ocean splits. You have to take a step out of the boat before you begin to walk on top of the water. Come on, somebody. You got to sing praise before the prison doors blast open. It's a life of faith. And this is what he said. I love Barnabas because he's a good man. Because he's full of faith. May that be our testimony at Church of the Mountain. Good men and good women. Full of faith. I don't think you're catching this yet. Full of faith. And so what fruit do we see in the life of being full of the Holy Spirit? An individual that's full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. What is the fruit? And I'm taking you to Barnabas, and this is awesome. So the fruit of being full of faith and the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see Luke breaks it down for us. And starting in verse 22, this is what a good man looks like, full of Jesus and full of faith. Verse 22, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Barnabas was in the church. He was a leader in the church in Jerusalem. The news came to him. He had, I believe, according to commentary and according to scripture, he had great empathy for those that were lost. He had great empathy for the kingdom that needed to be expanded out there. His heart broke in a way that he said, I need to go. There is great empathy for those that are outside suffering. And not just worldly empathy, godly empathy and godly mercy. He was moved with this, verse 22. And then this, simultaneously, so the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So the first thing, he had empathy for all those that were outside the camp, outside his city. Come on, circuit riders. And the second thing, he had a submission to the call of God through the local church. Oh, come on. I'm preaching better than you respond. That's not talked about enough, but it's totally biblical, Genesis to Revelation. There is power in godly submission. Not godly control. There's no control in the kingdom of God. There is submission to one another. And the local church was established by Christ himself. And when you come under, as Barnabas did, the apostles that were over him, they said, Barnabas, you're going. We're sending you. And he submits his heart and he submits his call and his life to what they are saying. Come on now. And he goes in power. So you want to see power, then you need to apostolically or pastorally or whatever word you want to use, align your heart with the church that you're going to and say, I'll serve this church and I will serve whatever in any way. And I will listen to the leaders that God has put in my life. Many times we don't want to listen to people. We say it's just me and God. And that is false. Scripturally false. God will speak to us in our prayer closet. God will awaken us. God will do anything that you need. But God wants a body of believers. God desires a family. If I were just to do my own thing all the time in my house and disregard my children and disregard my wife and just acted like it was all about me, that wouldn't fly. You know it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't fly in your home either. And it doesn't work in the church. And it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. God's like, I've given you leaders. And I've given you people around you to support you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord that will weep with you, that will counsel you, that will fight for you. But many times we have this thing called shame, and shame pulls us into isolation, but vulnerability puts us into family. Vulnerability and authenticity and humility puts us in family. And family, there's healing. Isolation, that's why this whole thing, the last 2 years, is the devil, because he wants to isolate us. But God wants to bring us together. We're better together. Hallelujah. Right, Jacob? Come on, bro. So, he had great empathy, submission to the call of God through the local church. And I love this in verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He loved sharing the gospel. He loved sharing the message of transforming grace of God. This was his life. He's in this new environment. He has empathy for them. He submits to the local leaders. And now he loves being in this environment, sharing the message of grace, sharing the message of Jesus, sharing the message of hope. Hallelujah. This is what you're like, what is this? I'm talking about a person full of faith and a person full of the Holy Spirit. These are the characteristics. And also in verse 23, we'll read that one more time. He came and had seen the grace of God. He was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He rejoiced over these people encountering God. He rejoiced. His heart was happy. He rejoiced over others. He didn't want to just keep it to himself. He rejoiced at the others that were coming into the kingdom. This is a man of God. This is a woman of God. This is the characteristics. And so I love that Luke lays this out specifically for us. But and this is so good. If we could just camp out right there and say yes and amen and do it. But there's more. I think the greatest thing that about Barnabas's life is his name. Barnabas, his name, and this is, brings me back to what I was saying in the beginning. His name actually means son of encouragement. His name means son of encouragement. And he was a great asset and a great hope and a great encouragement to the body of Christ, especially an amazing apostle by the name of Paul. And if there was no Barnabas, there would be no Paul. You probably don't know that. Maybe you do. Maybe you're a scholar. I don't know. But there's this moment in Paul's life. Paul has this radical conversion. Right? Acts chapter 9. He has this moment that changes everything. He has a visitation with Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the bright light, knocks him off his horse. And he gets radically saved. He had just, a couple chapters before, literally just stood while Stephen was killed. He led the charge for the church to be persecuted and snuffed out in the land. And he thought this was his religious duty to kill and to destroy the church of the living God. This is it. And so all of a sudden, he gets radically saved and he starts preaching. And then he comes to the Jews at the church, back to Jerusalem. And the apostles are freaking out. Acts chapter 9, later in the chapter, Saul at Jerusalem. It talks about this in verse 26. And you can read through there a little bit in Acts chapter 9, 26. And we see that they begin to get scared because, yeah, they're like, well, he's preaching, stuff's happening, but this is Saul. And so they put a block. Let's look at that. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a true disciple. How many times does this happen in the church? How many times do brothers and sisters kill each other and cut each other off? And this is when we need to be sons and daughters of encouragement. See, Barnabas had discernment. He had a great spirit of wisdom and a spirit of discernment to understand what was happening in Saul's life. And so right now, here, these are the apostles in the land. And they are blessing or they are not blessing. And if they don't bless Paul's ministry, it is not going to be as effective as it would be with their blessing and with their hand upon it. Do you know that? And so Barnabas, verse 27, but Barnabas took Saul, and he brought them back to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. This was a turning point for Paul, because he had a man stand with him. That's encouragement. That's encouragement. And many of us, we try to walk this road alone. I walk this road alone. So, old song, I don't know, it's the 90s, Green Day, I don't know. We don't need to walk this road alone. And we need sons and daughters of encouragement. This is what the church is called to be. And I just felt this, like it just came on me as we went to Ridgecrest. I just felt like, man, like, here's this radical place, like, God is moving in this place, but we are coming with encouragement for the woman who just was diagnosed with cancer. We're coming with encouragement for Tara that just had a bad diagnosis. We're coming for different ones and bringing them hope and life. Amen. Come on. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt just beat up emotionally, spiritually, and then somebody comes alongside of you and it just you just feel like, I can do it. There's this video. I'm not going to play it today because we're just not enough time, but I think I'm going to play it later in Bishop. So if somebody needs this message, invite them later today. But there is this video. It was a National Geographic video. And it shows this lion, king of the jungle, the lion. But he is outnumbered by a bunch of hyenas. And these hyenas begin to circle him and make their hideous little noises and cries. Sounds worse than a coyote laughing. And they begin to destroy the lion and bite at him and wear him down and bite at his legs to the point that the lion wants to give up. Because if it was attacking one or even two, it could totally win. But 10, 15, he's outnumbered. And this lion in the video literally begins to like give up. And he's like, they're pulling off its flesh. And then all of a sudden you hear this roar in the distance. And another lion comes and he roars and he just charges into this thing and busts up all the hyenas. And one lion by themselves couldn't do it. But two, and I think there might have been three that came to the rescue. And the Lord just ministered to me in this moment, because there's been moments where I have felt alone and I wanted to wave the white flag. And then all of a sudden the Lord sent in encouragement, sent in a person with a message of hope. Amen. And I feel like sometimes Our pride won't let us receive it. We don't receive it because we have a wall of pride. And so break the pride. Break it in the name of Jesus, because God resists pride. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace will come in the form of your brother and sister saying, I just want to bless you. I have a word of encouragement for you. You're going to make it. Come on. Yes. Just share right now.
Well, what happened is I had to go to the dentist, and it was upsetting for me. And so what I did the morning of is I sent out this SOS text to about 5 friends and just said, hey, this is what's going on. And so when I went with their encouragement and their prayer that are like, you got this. And, you know, we're with you and the peace of God and everything. And so it was just that call out. And so we have to do that for each other. We have to reach out. Yeah. In that time, especially if you're afraid of anything, because fear is not of the Lord. So any kind of fear, reach out, and your brothers and sisters will break that and stand with you. So that was
so good. Come on. Amen. This is the call of the church. And if Paul, we love Paul, the Apostle Paul, but Paul needed some encouragement. He needed a bro to back him up. And he got it. And then he was launched into the greatest season of ministry the world has known since Jesus. But it started with Barnabas, son of encouragement. I got your back. Nobody else believes you, but I believe you. I'll stand with you. This is the call of Church on the Mountain. I was in, I lived in Mongolia 3 years, and I've gone back several times after that. And this was a trip, a missionary trip after the 3 years. I was out in the countryside, and we were just preaching all over the countryside, Sean and myself. And the Lord directed us to go to this just random place that I had never been. And I would say the name, but it would mean nothing to you. So, and so we go to this countryside location, to this church. I had met the church or met the pastor in the capital city before, but I'd never been to this location. And so we come out there, and I'd heard some amazing testimonies and stories of the church, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to come. But we come, and the church is just in wreckage. Like, it's just totally been blown up by the devil. And I'm like, what happened? Like, there's only like 10 people. And it just feels, you could just feel like the oppression and just something happening. So we go for it. We preach and just bring the Lord's word. And as I'm preaching, the Lord gives me a message for the pastor. And so I just walk over to him privately, and I just begin to pray for him. And I feel in my heart, my spirit, the Lord says, I'm going to send three people, and this church is going to grow, and it's going to be healing for the pastor, as well as some other things that he said. And so I just say that to him. I pray that, I bless him, and then leave. And I come to find out that same time, there was a pastor that was a man in a whole different, like 6-7 hours away. The Lord begins to move on his heart and his wife, and they have a teenage son. There's 3. The Lord begins to move on their heart to give their church away and to come and move and to be a support system for this pastor. They move. They leave everything. They move here. The church begins to experience revival, and it grows, and the Lord blesses them. Come on. And it being an encouragement, it's a risk. It's a risk to look foolish. It's a risk to be, maybe I'm missing it, but maybe you're not. Are you willing to look like a fool for Christ? You got to be willing to give. Give. Say give. Give. Give out. Give out. I think too much of the church and too many believers, we have become like the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea only receives, but it does it cannot give out. It has no capacity. There's no way it can give out. There's no life. And so it is more salty than like Mono Lake. And no life is there. And it's just, can you imagine swallowing a little bit of that water? Ah. But that's how a lot of believers are. And the Lord wants us to be able to receive the goodness of His love, the goodness of life, the goodness of God. But don't just hoard it, because then you become dead. You become spiritually dead. Only when you give it will you receive more. And so we have to give. Give hope. Give encouragement. Give strength. Hallelujah. Give. You are a Barnabas. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're a Barnabas. I don't know what the female version of that would be, but you're a Barbara. You need to become a Barnabas. There is somebody in your sphere of influence that needs your encouragement. There's somebody in your family that needs some hope. There's somebody in your workplace. There's somebody in your community that needs encouragement, that needs a word of hope, a word of life. And you got it. Like, you don't need to wait for me. You don't need to wait to bring him in here and wait for the perfect song from Patrick. And it's like, did you feel that? You know? No, like, you just go bring it. You have the same Holy Spirit. The power of God. And so we need to become a Barnabas, become a son of encouragement. But then at the same time, simultaneously, you need to have Barnabases in your life. Be a leader and have leaders. Be a leader to somebody. Be an encouragement to somebody. And then receive from somebody. You have to have people and leaders in your life that you're receiving from, that you're constantly getting hope and encouragement from. If you're not, you'll drown. You'll suffocate. Find some people that have fought the battles that you're currently in and allow them to bring you some encouragement. Amen? Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So watch who you hang out with. And watch who you allow to speak into your heart. Are they aligned with Jesus? Do they have the heart of the Father? Amen and amen. The world, the church, your family, your friends is desperate for what's inside of you. They're desperate for the sons of encouragement to rise up. And I just believe this is our calling as Church on the Mountain. And this is what we want to do. There's so much negativity. There's so much hopelessness. And so what if we just begin to come against that with hope? What if we begin to come against that in Jesus' name and see things begin to shift? Come on. I'm almost done. I'm landing. I was in South Africa and a few of us were having pizza and we're at this little restaurant having pizza and it was so good. I forget what that might have been called, the Mug and Bean or something. It was just a cool little South African restaurant. And we're having pizza, having some good coffee. And a few of us begin to notice that the waitress, she just looked a little bit down. And so we could have just ignored that and just continued to eat our amazing pizza. But we just said, hey, we're here on assignment. Like, what if God gives us a word for her that would change everything? And so we just sat there with our pizza in hand and our coffee and just begin to pray for a minute. And the Lord begins to give each one of us a word for the waitress. And we prophesy over her. She starts weeping. And we get this word that she felt like she was supposed to be in like the fashion industry. And somebody's like, you have a dream to go to school in America. And she's like, I do. I just applied, but I have no money. I have no way to get there. And she just starts weeping. And so we're like, we're going to take an offering for you right now. And we take an offering, and she's just, and then she accepts Jesus. Come on. Like, you just don't know. Be a son of encouragement. People need it in this community. At the Crowley Lake store. At Tom's Place, if you're going there for lunch. In Mammoth, wherever you are, there's so many people that need some encouragement. And it can be a simple, I remember some of the greatest moments in my life when we were going through horrific season with Gia, some of the most potent and memorable experiences weren't the prophecy, weren't the amazing prayer. It was when somebody came with a cup of coffee and a hug. And it changed me. And it, like, I'm like, somebody took the time to weep with me and to love me in my pain and to encourage me. And we need that. Hallelujah. So who are you fighting for? And who's fighting for you? Who are you fighting for, and who is fighting for you? And don't fight each other. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Don't mudsling. Don't get mad at your brothers and sisters. Don't gossip. Let's fight for each other, and let's find the ones that are mature in the faith that can fight for us. Hallelujah. I love William Booth and the founder of the Salvation Army. You know, the Salvation Army's gotten a little woke lately, but... But it was not that way in the beginning. It was a force to be reckoned with. They were revivalists and reformers. And William Booth was such a powerful guy. And he was just consumed with the cause of Christ. And I remember there's this quote. And he just said, "Well, women weep as they do now, I will fight. Well, children go hungry as they do now, I will fight. Well, men go to prison in and out, I will fight. While there is one drunkard in the streets, I will fight. While there is one person left in this city without the life and the light of God, I will fight. I will fight to the very end." And I read that and it just hit me. I said, "Lord, I want to be that kind of person. I want to bring hope and courage and life to my community." Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your anointing in this house. Thank you, Father, that you call us sons of encouragement. And I pray that each and every one of us would step into that in the mighty name of Jesus. And every eye closed. If you just need some encouragement today, I just want you to raise your hand. We're not calling you out. I just want you to raise your hand and just hallelujah. Father, you see them. You know them. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, touch their heart right now. Bring life, bring joy, bring freedom, and bring encouragement. Now just put your hand on each shoulder around you. And just bless them. Everybody needs a little bit of blessing. Everybody needs a little bit of encouragement. But if you were one of those ones that raised your hands, then just receive it a little bit more. Receive it a little bit deeper. But just pray that. Pray encouragement. Pray blessing. Pray favor. Pray life. Pray new beginnings. There's a person in this room. You need a new beginning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for new beginnings. New beginnings. Thank you, Jesus.
Rena, the Lord loves to crack the tough nut. my birth dad rejected Jesus for so long until right before COVID he gave his life to Jesus. He's after Rob. He's after Rob. Be encouraged. He is in hot pursuit. He's not stopping. Oh, we just release your love, Jesus, over Rob today. Thank you, Father, that you can take out the heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh that's soft and tender to you. We bless this family, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. And Bill, the Lord loves to recompense you according to your righteousness, to repay you what the enemy has stolen, to take back what was yours and reward you with it yet again. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and that more abundantly. So I just bless you to receive the abundant life yet again and again and again that Jesus has for you. No longer are you a victim from wrong, but you are a son of righteousness and an heir to the kingdom of heaven. Here we fight for gold, but your king has streets of gold. Come on. And Jerry, he loves you. He loves you. And he will finish what he started in your son. Paul says it, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in Josh is faithful to complete it until that perfect day.
You know, the devil wants us to make us think that we're a loser. He wants to make us feel like when we come to a wall or a mountain in our life that there's no possible way. I mean, I've been struggling with my business just because of we got inflation, we got gas prices, we got everything that could hit a business. And I have a fairly large business, about $4 million a year is what my business does, gross sales. But right now our profit margin is so small and our expenses are a lot higher. So things are coming at me like a wall right now. But I know, I get up every morning, I got this lock in my spirit, but I go out and I pray. And by the time I get done, I have this new confidence, this renewed faith. Because when you come into the presence of God, He will build you up. And you will be able to look at the mountain, and it'll look like a molehill. You know, I have tried to be steadfast in my thoughts. Because like my son is my partner. He's a great man, but he's struggling with the world. He's having a hard time now, and the decisions he makes don't benefit the company, but they hurt him. And it just seems like I'm in the middle of all this confusion, trying to hold the boat steady, trying to keep from losing everything after all the years I've worked so hard and keep feeding the monster, taking out money from savings to keep the business going because I need to do that. But the only reason I do it is because I know that He is watching me. Jerry's not going to quit. Jerry believes in me. And I will come through for him. He doesn't see it right now. All he sees is the waves. All he sees is the weather. All he sees is a cloud of... oppression sometimes. But you know what? I've been through it before. I look on my testimony. It says that they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So I can plead the blood of the Lamb over my family. I can receive the gifts of God and His word, but I have got to overcome by what God has done in my life. So this time, when I overcome, my testimony is going to be so strong. I'm going to walk into the land. I'm going to take it. I'm going to tell other businessmen how to not give up, how to believe in God, how to know that God will get you through.
Come on. Just we're Andy. Just stretch your hands towards Jerry and Dory. Father, I just thank you for life. I thank you for hope. Lord, I thank you for a fresh wind in their sails right now in the name of Jesus. I just see you, your whole family, both of you as your marriage, but your entire family, your business. I saw this large ship in the ocean, and the enemy had tried to tie you to the dock and tie you down so you couldn't move. And I saw the sails hoisted, but you couldn't go forward. And all of a sudden, right now, as we pray, as we stand, I saw this sword cut the ropes, and you were accelerated, and you were launched into the sea, into the deep places. And so, Father, I thank you for acceleration. I thank you for new growth. I thank you, God, that you're taking him to places that he's never dreamt of. In the spirit, financially, and even in the natural. God, I thank you for the call of God upon Jerry and Dory. I thank you for the anointing to evangelize, the anointing to preach the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that there is a grace to win souls, that there is a grace to impart faith. God, I thank you for the gift of faith that you have given to them. Lord, may they impart that to others. I bless them today in Jesus' name. And Lord, bless this word and seal it in our spirits and seal it in our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Bless you. If you want to get one of these forms for Trunk or Treat, they're in the entryway. Otherwise, God bless you. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you at 4 p.m. We love you. God bless.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh.